Welcome to Nature Knows, conversations with wild warriors and changemakers. I'm your host, Jen Vitenzo, and this podcast is all about nature, both the wild kind outside our front doors and the humankind written within our DNA. Each episode showcases an individual who has dedicated their efforts to create a better today to ensure we have an actual tomorrow, and they are using their unique creative fingerprints to do it. These are the wild warriors and changemakers constructing the bridges necessary to connect us all, human to human, species to species, worlds to worlds. Today's guest on Nature Knows is Julian Espinoza, who's a marketing and branding guru and the podcast host of Growth Hack. He's also an education advocate who works with high school kids to help them learn the necessary life skills to build successful futures for themselves. We met through a group in Clubhouse, and I'm very excited to introduce him to you today. Hello, hello.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good. We just got a big old snowstorm, so I'm digging my way out again.
Where? What part of the world are you in?
I'm in Massachusetts right now.
We got a little guest here.
Yeah. Hello, kitty.
Hey, buddy.
You all
right?
That's so sweet.
You just want some attention? All right. There we go.
Those are such beautiful cats.
Thank you.
So I'm very excited to talk to you and about all the work that you're doing, because you're doing some amazing work across a lot of different spectrums. So your background really is definitely marketing, but also teaching. So you work in the education spectrum as well as the business, like B2B, you know, and B2C. So if you don't mind, like, it'd be great to get sort of a little bit of your backstory, you know, where you started, what your trajectory has been getting from sort of there to here, and just give a little bit of an overview, and then we can sort of dig in from there.
Totally. Yeah. I'll give you the cliff notes. When I was 16, I interned at a marketing agency. Later on, as I got a little bit older, I entered the world of marketing through that same agency when I entered years earlier. That was 2006. So it really gave me a world of like what the internet was about. And then shortly after that, we just went deep into digital marketing. So we were doing banner ads, we were doing SEO, ranking websites on Google, we were doing social media, we were doing all kinds of things. And as the internet evolved, we had to obviously evolve with it as well. And over the last almost 15 years now, I've spent my life in digital marketing. I never intended to step into education. I never intended to be in the educational world. It's sort of by association to some of the organizations and partners that we are friendly with, I've ended up there. And so when I started my company 3 years ago, we had a really nice opportunity to work with interns, specifically college students. What we quickly realized is college students were all facing some major deficiencies from a career standpoint. So that's as simple as a resume, all the way to the extreme of maybe even salary negotiations. They didn't know how to interview properly. They were struggling with what questions to ask, and they were struggling to show how enthusiastic they were about the job and how interested they were in the job, because they just didn't know what questions to ask. No one had told them, maybe you should go to the about page of a company. They hadn't been told to go to the LinkedIn profiles of the founders or the people who are interviewing you and then ask them a little bit about their career, right? To get to know someone. These are general things that if we were just talking to someone, we're generally interested in, just like we're doing here now. You said, just tell me a little bit about yourself. What's your background, right?
Right.
And so once we found those major deficiencies, we saw this problem systemically, and we said, well, I shouldn't be the one solving these problems. I'm not qualified. This is not what I do for a living. I'm a digital marketer. So we sort of went on this journey to discover who was solving for this. And we talked to the key stakeholders. So we obviously talked to the students themselves, but we talked to parents. We talked to the school district. We talked to the local high schools, and we talked to the professors at the universities. And unfortunately, we didn't find a sufficient answer behind anyone was working to solve and attempt to solve these issues. So at some point I just was putting my head on my pillow and I realized, well, I can't keep going to bed with knowing that no one's out there solving this. And so we just decided one day to start solving the problem. Can't really see it here on video, but maybe it's a, here we go. Leaving the Nest. There you go. That's the name of the organization. It's called Leaving the Nest. And we help high school and college students to become career ready. The way we've deployed currently in our current format is we're going into local high schools and teaching kids what LinkedIn is, how to use it. And we even at the end of the program, have them begin to reach out to community members or entrepreneurs or founders in the local community to start getting job internships or what we call career shadow opportunities. So the idea here being that we get them early on at 15, 16 years old. Actually, we have to do it at 16 because LinkedIn cuts us off at that. But we start at 16 all the way to 18 years old, helping them early on find those careers. What we found is a lot of students have gone into college with a particular interest in mind and then realize when they get there that that's not what they want to do. And then they have to add an extra semester or an extra year at the end because they're a little bit behind because they switched. So the idea is to kind of solve for that, but also solve for the big, big, big picture, which is what happens after college. And we want to start doing things now. And that's my little quick spiel on about me and how I got to where I am.
Nice. Well, it's definitely, I mean, I have two nephews who just graduated from college this past year. And I know one kind of knew which trajectory he was taking and he already since he was young. But a lot of kids that I know, and my other nephew being an example, had an idea but didn't really have any idea how to get there. And like you said, those skills were just kind of, you know, we were so focused on educating to tests and educating to get you into college, but not educating for life, educating to be a well-rounded individual that like get out there in the world and do whatever you need to do. And I remember I took a college course on journalism. I took a course in college on journalism. And I remember my favorite part about that and probably the most important thing I probably learned in college had to do with that class. And as part of it, we had to interview someone in the field that we were interested in. So it wasn't about being a journalist per se. It was, I don't care if you never go into journalism, I want you to research a field and go at it from a journalist perspective, which is kind of a lot of this. It's getting the backstory, figuring out the ins and outs. And then I had to contact someone, sort of cold call someone in the industry that I was interested in, and then interview them. And I ended up, because I was in college in DC, taking the train up to New York, because I was interested in advertising at the time, meeting with the creative director at Young Rubicon, I think it was, and just like shadowing him for the day. And it was instrumental in understanding, like, it's one thing to see a job description. It's an entirely different thing to get into the moment and be there on site and realize what the interactions are. And like you said, it's, you know, it's we see things on a piece of paper, we see things broken down, but we don't know what it's like on an everyday basis, living that life. And we don't get sort of told that you want to create a life, not necessarily a career. So you want your career to fall into that and be part of that. But you kind of need to know what it is you want. And we're not teaching kids that to think like that. We're teaching them this is what you need to get this, you know, score on a test, and this score will get you into this kind of a college and that. But it's not, you know, that's obviously important to some degree, but college also isn't necessarily for everybody. That's not the be all end all. And on top of that, it's, you know, like you said, we're not teaching them life skills. Like, not that most people are using a checkbook anymore, but they're still using credit cards and they, you know, understanding how to manage your finances. LinkedIn, like you said, it's an incredible resource and nobody's using it. They are, but most kids really, nobody knows that. Like, they're not being taught how to put together a resume. They're not taught how to basically highlight their skills. They're not even sure necessarily what their skills are and how they translate into jobs. So
I 100% agree with you. systemically, I think there's some, sorry guys, if you guys continue here, my cat, he's a little rambunctious this morning.
He has something to say.
Yeah, he does. Systemically, there's something going on here. and it's buried. I started to unpack it a little bit, but the more I unpacked it, the more my head started hurting. And I think that I'm going to reserve someone to unpack the why and where we are today and the why, for someone who's a brighter mind than me. I think honestly, it could be a Netflix special, or it could be a documentary on what happened in academia and where did we end up. But to your point, we are not, at least at the high school level, their goals are very aligned, and their outcomes are very aligned with getting kids into college, right? And in the real world, it's quite different. If I fail on a test in high school, I get an F, right? Or I'm sorry, if I don't have a passing score, I get an F. In the real world, when you get an F in terms of when you do something wrong, you get told and trained on how to do it right, right? And so that there's a huge difference there, and we're sending the wrong message, right? And so a test, what it is to understand what you don't know, and then help, lift up the skills that you don't have. So lots of things to say about academia. I work with them, and they're essentially my client to some degree. So I have to walk a tightrope with that. And I think there's some people that are paying attention, that are starting to listen. And that's why we have the opportunity we have, and we're teaching our programming.
Well, it's an incredible initiative. And really, it's a necessary initiative. Like we've been talking about, it's just, especially now with COVID and everything that's been going on, it's like, that the paradigm has shifted so much and everything is sort of in flux. It's actually the perfect time for change to happen, for these new things to be implemented, for a new way of looking at things, a new way of, designing your future. It was important before this. It is definitely vitally important moving forward. So I realized, speaking to you and kind of doing a little bit of research on you, like stalking you, internet stalking you, you're big on the whole finding your why, which obviously ties into the Leaving the Nest as well. And I know you have a program you work with startup kids as well. And marketing obviously ties inextricably with finding your why. Like, there's one thing to have a brand, but why do you have the brand? You can talk a little bit sort of about your ethos with regards to that, and why that is so important.
Yeah, I think why it's so topical right now is because I'm probably trying to figure out my why, right? And trying to figure out why I exist on the planet, and what I want to leave the world with, right? I think that's a big reason. But to give a more practical answer, when we're talking to students about anything, without knowing what they want to do, we can't help them, right? And so the big problem that we discovered, especially in the 15 to about 19 to 20 years old, and even 21 and 22, most of them don't know what they want to do. At least a majority of them do. There's some that have been destined, like, hey, I'm going to be a firefighter, or I'm going to be a news anchor, or I want to be a TV weatherman. And those are all real stories from real people. But that's a fewer and far between. I definitely in my past, I fell into that bucket where I didn't know what I wanted to do. I wasn't sure. And I really had no path. Reflecting now, I didn't have any scaffolding for the opportunity to explore that. I wasn't really given the opportunity to explore these things. So the reason why we start with the why and who you are is because that's where we need to be aligned first. And once we're aligned, we can start to paint a picture of where we need to go. Now, the thing that I tell all the students is, you don't need to know what you want to do for the rest of your life. And trust me, it's okay if you don't know, and it's okay to change your mind, right? I think that's something that doesn't happen enough, is being okay with changing your mind, right? Committing to the idea of discovery is what I'm asking students to do. Commit to the discovery of your ideas, but you don't have to commit to the final product. Just commit to the journey. because I'm in that journey myself. What I've discovered in the years of doing what I've been doing, I have a passion of helping our youth, right? So I was also asked to teach at CSUN here in Southern California. And so about twice a year, I go and run one of their programs for their international students. So it is a passion. I do feel that I was put on this planet to educate and help our youth. It fills me up the way I need to be filled up. And I can see the impact it has on the children, and that definitely does a lot for me. But going back to the why, the practical reason is I need to know a direction, or else we can't build your LinkedIn profile to tailored to a specific job title or a specific industry you're interested in. Right. And so that's why we need to understand their why and where they need to go. For the kids that do know, it's very easy. You want to be a graphic designer? Perfect. We know what to do. That's great. Again, that's probably out of 10 students, that's maybe two of them. I'd say 2.5 really is probably where you are. So I've got another 7 to 7.5 students, right, who are not knowing where they want to go or not know exactly what they want to do. So if we start with them with their why and we ask them about themselves, who they are, right, and we move down that path, we can start to find career opportunities and career interests. Then at the end of that, we ask them to commit to one as part of discovery, not as a commitment to what they're going to do forever or what they're even going to do in a month, just a commitment to discover what it is. Because what most people don't realize is LinkedIn is a tool. Today, it can be used to find a job in graphic design. Tomorrow, it can be used to find a job as a weatherman, right? So it can change. And so that's why, in that long-winded answer, it's so important to start with the why.
Well, yeah, and also it's just, you know, we're all multifaceted. You do multiple things. I do multiple things. And, you know, my brother is the case in point of the first thing of what you were speaking of, which is he knew from the time he was like 6 years old, he wanted to be a doctor. And it was, this is the path to being a doctor. And that was what he wanted to do. And he eventually specified in terms of he wanted to do sports medicine, but he knew it was still doctor. And so his path was a lot more mapped out right from the start. Whereas for me, I've been in advertising, public relations. I've been a touring singer, songwriter, and had a label, and then moved to South Africa and was working in conservation. And there's this mentality of, I know this focus of, you can't do that. You know, how do you, but it's more of, like you said, about the person and what their interests are, what their skills are, and figuring out the life that they want to create and finding where, hi Lou, my dog is now coming to say hello. Figuring out really what your passion is and what drives you, and finding ways to parlay that into, and that fact that you can change. There is nothing saying that you have to stick with one thing for the rest of your life. Like, that's a construct that we've built, that we've kind of stuck with for whatever, maybe because it just seems like the easier way. I don't know if it's a safe way. I'm not really sure, but for whatever reason, we've created this idea that you can only be one thing. And that's, you know, disregarding the fact that we are not one thing ever. We have multiple interests and skills and abilities. And the fact that, you know, you could be interested in environmental stuff and also be interested in the law. You could become an environmental lawyer. You know, there are ways to merge those things as well. And you might start in one trajectory. Like, I started essentially with, you know, writing and music, and I turned that into education with environmental and arts and environmental education. And like, a lot of my skill set overlapped in a strange, bizarre way. But yeah.
No, we've heard some really amazing stories of students combining these multiple industries together about their interests, and there's total opportunities for that. I'm not going to take credit for this particular one, but one of my associates slash partner, she was helping a student who had a few different interests. He was interested in sports. He was interested in design and architecture. And so through her network, she introduced him to someone who designed football stadiums for, you know, basically an architecture company. And so taking their love of sports and design and architecture and putting it all together, It was beautiful and it was a wonderful experience. I'm not going to take the credit. That was not for, that was not me, but I could, but you can see how you can wrap it all together to your point. If you like law, but you also like the ocean, maybe, you know, something in conservation, right? And there's many ways to do it. And giving the foundation and the scaffolding to these students to do that. I think one thing that I do want to mention is late in my career, or well, I guess I'm in my mid part of my career at this point, but late in the part of my career at this point, I was given everything I wanted. I was given the six-figure salary. I was given all the benefits. I was given, it was funny, I wanted a stand-up desk. I wanted everything. I wanted all of it. All of it, all of it, all of it. And I asked for everything I wanted and I got all of it. I still wasn't happy. And I didn't know it at the time, because how difficult is that, right? To be able to say, I'm not happy after I've been given everything I've wanted, right? And so that's really, really tough. And that's just to goes to answer, goes to show you that, like, you know, it can, you can change. And so now I went on my entrepreneurship journey where I don't have that six-figure salary, where I didn't have medical benefits for almost a few years, where I didn't have all the perks, where I had a little laptop. I mean, I had nothing, and I was so much happier in that. So it's very, very interesting, and it's a very interesting part of life's journey, that when we get to that top, when we think what we wanted, right? And then realizing that's not what we really want. That's not what actually makes us happy.
Right. So, or maybe it was 5 years ago, and then when you got there, you've changed, you've grown, you've evolved, or whatever, and everything is now shifted, and you're like, well, it sounded great at the time, but now that I have it, it's actually not what I thought it would be. And adjusting your sales, so to speak, and adjusting your expectations. Yeah. I said the same thing with a lot of the stuff that I was doing, where I was like, I want to sing in front of, you know, huge stadiums and blah, blah, blah. And then I got to do it. And I was like, yeah, no, nope, I don't want to do this. I don't like this at all. It was a cool feeling in the moment. And then every single time I had to do it afterwards, I was like, I feel like I'm going to vomit. Like, it was so nerve wracking for me that it was not even an enjoyable experience anymore. And I was like, I don't want this. I want to move and shift into something. And everyone else is like, are you crazy? You're, you know, a performer. Everybody wants that. I'm like, no, I have friends that work in music and TV licensing, which is what I ended up moving more into. They're never in front of a crowd. They're never in front of an audience. They write music that's, you know, behind the scenes or in a film or what, and they you never see their face, and they love it. They're so happy because they maintain their anonymity, but they still do what they love. And I'm like, Right. That's, you know, that's a great, and that's what makes them happy. And it's like, all these things have a trade-off in some way, shape, or form. So you might, if you, you know, we joke about the golden handcuffs in my family because I have two family members that are involved in finance, and they stress a lot about the fact that, you know, they get paid well, and they're afraid to leave the job because they're so used to the lifestyle that they've now. I'm like, but if you're not happy, find ways to downscale and shift things around so you can start maneuvering into another area where you are. But it does get really easy, I think, to fall into, and especially if you haven't built that scaffolding and that structure in the first place, where you don't kind of have that knowledge that there's more out there. It's not just be a doctor, be a lawyer, be, you know, there's so many aspects and so many, like, we have seen the world for many, many years in silos, mm-hmm. and everything is individual, everything is separated. And now we're finally like coming to terms with the fact that every single thing is interrelated in some way, shape, or form. And there are ways to cross boundaries, to cross, you know, and they work and they're necessary. Because if you're working in silos, you're only understanding one part of the problem, but not necessarily how it affects the other problem. You know, like if you're in a state, if you're in Michigan and you guys have no laws for environmental pollution, it doesn't stay in Michigan, you know? It's like, it goes downriver or where, you know, it goes in the air. And so it affects everything around you. And so, you know, everything has sort of the equal and opposite reaction. There's an element of everything touches upon everything else. And now that we're starting to really explore how those things happen, we can start creating careers and lives that are multidisciplinary, that are multifaceted. And like you said, sort of finding that passion, finding your voice and figuring out what your brand is, that's really, you know, in line with who you are. And I don't know, I'm hoping, you know, my little sort of idealistic world that will just make us all much happier people.
I hope so. I do hope so.
Right? Because this has been a very unhappy world lately. So, so in terms of your, so your marketing, you do digital marketing and you're like all up in that space. That's another thing where there's a lot of cross promotion, where it's not just a, here's your SEO, here's your website, run with it. It's finding ways to, you know, to connect in new, different ways, finding ways to sort of build your following, but also like finding your tribe, so to speak. Like we connected through Clubhouse because I heard you speaking in one of the rooms and I was like, oh my gosh, this guy is really interested. It wasn't just the marketing and branding, which I think you're phenomenal at from everything I've seen. You've got this, you've got really useful blogs. You've got an amazing podcast. You know, you're covering the gamut in a lot of things, but you're talking about a lot of stuff that has not been, like you did a recent blog post about Pinterest. And Pinterest is one of those ones you don't hear about when you think about marketing. You hear Facebook, you hear Instagram, you hear TikTok and all that. But you don't, Pinterest sort of falls by the wayside. And yet there's so much value, so much untapped value there. So with regards to the work that you're doing, do you see any particular areas that, you know, are really up and coming or, you know, that we should probably change the way we look at?
It's a good question. So just contextually, what pays my bills is my marketing company. We have not been able to find long-term sustainability yet with Leaving the Nest. That's why I call it a company. I'm sorry, not a company, a project, because it is just a project that in the moment. We are getting paid, and there is a sort of a company, if you will, associated there. But what does pay my bills and where I do have clientele and sustainability is my marketing business. As far as new strategies go, I think you've hit the nail on the head. So we are growth hackers. And philosophically, what does that mean? And what do we believe? We believe in bringing the most cost-effective ways to revenue and finding those for our customers. And so every single customer is going to be a little bit different just because it's got a different audience. It's got a different call to action, and it's just got a different, business. So every business again is a little different. So as far as, is there a particular tactic that I use right now that I would say is like the newest and upcoming thing? I'd like to be able to give you a practical answer. I really would. The idea being, I can give you more so scaffolding. The idea being that there's many places a business can advertise digitally, many places. So we got Instagram, Snapchat, Google, Facebook, TikTok, and all the other things that I haven't mentioned. And so I think that the question needs to be asked is, where does a customer, or if we were the business, where does a business, where can it find its lowest cost per acquisition, right? Where can I acquire a customer for the least amount of dollars possible? I think that's the question that needs to be asked, right? And so once you ask that question, the idea is like, okay, well, we need to know where our target audience lives. So depending on who we're targeting and who the audience is, we've got different channels that we can hit. So the idea is sort of testing out these platforms, right? And testing out which ones are returning us the best returns. For us in our company, we've stuck to Instagram and Facebook for many years just because that's been the cheapest ways to acquire customers. Now with Snapchat and TikTok beefing up their targeting and beefing up their ad buying platforms, we are now starting to shift and starting to explore these other platforms. So keep in mind, it may be cheaper to advertise on TikTok and Snapchat, but cheap is relative, right? So if we're talking about a CPM, which means how much it costs to show you to 1,000 people, which is the industry benchmark when we compare platforms to, excuse me, when we compare one platform to another, Facebook and Instagram have the highest CPMs. Now, the reason why I'm still more successful on Instagram and Facebook is because the way they have their algorithm built from an ad targeting platform. their platform is very robust from a targeting perspective and what we can do on the platform. Yeah. So even though the CPM is more expensive, the cost to acquire the customer is still lower. So what we want to do now is obviously start looking at TikTok and start looking at Snapchat. And then as you mentioned, Pinterest, start looking at these other channels and figuring out where we can get really cost-effective ways to acquire customers. So this is my motto for all my clients. My motto is I'm not going to be leading the most cutting edge technology marketing tactic out there. There's people out there who I know are far beyond me on being able to slice the pie in so many different ways on this new tech and whatever and whatnot. I apply proven technologies with some sort of speed, right? So at this point, we know that TikTok is here to stay for a period of time. We don't know how long it's going to stay, but we know it's going to stay for a bit. I mean, there were some questions a few months ago, depending on when you're listening to this, where you know, it was going to be sold or bought and so on and so forth. But the point being that we know that TikTok's going to stay for a while. We know it's growing a massive user base. So we should start at this point, if you haven't already, started exploring TikTok as a means to advertise. With how they built their targeting, probably not. I'd like to see better targeting, but their algorithm may start outperforming targeting. So, you know, my point in the scaffolding is, and the theory about what's the latest and greatest, is just a question of, are you spending your time testing new strategies? And so I'm not going to take credit for this. This is the 80-20 rule. 80% of your marketing should be spent on what you know works, and 20 should be on exploration. And that's the scaffolding that allows you to understand where to go. So TikTok, you should look at Snapchat. Depending on the business, you should look at Pinterest. And then for certain types of businesses, obviously start looking at Clubhouse.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting because that sort of parallels a lot of the school stuff you were talking about, which is there's so much out there and there's continually more and more stuff that's being added to the fray that it can get overwhelming. And I, like, even if you're looking at jobs as a kid, you know, it can be overwhelming because there are so many options and things are continually changing. But if you get, I feel like you're saying, if you sort of get a handle on a few key ones, then you can start leveraging that and you can focus your attention on what you know is working and then start, you know, investigating some other areas. Kind of like you pick a job, you start somewhere, you know, build up some skills there, and then you can start moving into other areas as you're learning and as you're going and as you're exploring and learning more about yourself and what it is you want and the life that you want and also what else is out there.
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
Yeah, I struggle. The branding stuff with me, I struggle with as well, because I like being gone and living where I was. It was so remote that I knew these things existed, but I didn't have a lot of time to play around with them because I was living on a game reserve where I had minimal access to anything. Like half the time my cell phone didn't work. So I would hear about something and I'd be like, that's great. Someday I'll actually see what it is, you know? And so when I came back to the States, it was just getting overloaded with all of this new stuff. And then, right, you know, the algorithms continually are changing. So you're constantly sort of feeling like you're trying to play catch up. So it does seem like the smarter move, and it's obviously worked for you very well, is find some things to stick with and be solid on and use some extra space. You know, build yourself a little bit of a cushion so that you have the extra space to explore new ideas. But, you know, build yourself a foundation.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't explore new avenues unless you've got that foundation. Right. Luckily, with the current clients we have, most of them have already that foundation, and we can do that 20% to test new things. I mean, I've got one client at this point where I dictate their monthly ad spend. So meaning I tell them what we're gonna be spending per month. And then I say, hey, we're gonna start working with TikTok and we're gonna start working with influencers. And they say, cool, let us know how it goes. That's that's the trust that I've built with that client. It's actually been my first client we started with our agency. We still have them to this day. And that's where we're at. And that only happened because of the success we've built for them. And that's where the trust was. The trust was that we delivered, right? And so that's where that is. So absolutely, if you can have a mixture of both successful campaigns or successful methods, and then test out new methods. I definitely always test new things. And if there isn't anything new to test, relax for a little bit, but be on the hunt for the next new thing.
Right, right. Or we keep refining your brand as well. There's always, you know, it's interesting because you're talking about also building that trust, and that is so important, and across all situations, you know, whether it's, you know, in your relationships, your interpersonal relationships, friends, partners, family, but also within the working sphere. And one of the things that's come up often in conversations that I've had with people is the value of having mentors and having people that you can trust and speak to, who either you are mentoring them or they are mentoring you. And how have you had that experience? Have you had some people in your life that you've been able to really just sort of like, this is my issue, I'm not really sure where to go with this, and they've just sort of been that guidance for you?
Yeah, I don't like to take any credit for anything that I've done in my life, because I've built everything that I've built on the backs of mentors. And so the only thing that I'm going to give myself credit, and the only arrogance I'm going to share here, is that I had from a very young age the ability to ask and want to know. And I think that's from what I've read about other successful people and read what's a standout person, that I just have a general thirst for knowledge. I constantly want to learn and know. And the best way to do that, and I respected my elders, if you will, from that perspective, maybe I was a brat, but I respected the idea that they know something that I don't. And that has definitely led me down the path of where I've been, where I've gone. Whether I'm successful or not, success is defined by perception, so I'm not going to go down that path. But the path that I've gone down has been because I've built on the backs of mentors. So I absolutely have mentors. What I have done is I've taken that mentorship, and I look at what each mentor can give me. And I who I respect for that opinion, right? And I think that's really, really important, because one mentor can't give you everything,
right?
Right, but other mentors can give you the things that the other mentors can't, right? So I have a finance mentor, I have a networking and sales mentor, I have a business mentor. And I have different mentors for different parts of my life. And then I have a personal development mentor as well. And so it's so important. It's so, so, so important, because we can get caught up here, and it's just all it takes. Sometimes it's just like that. Like it doesn't even need to be. And if the people are listening to the podcast, what did I just do? Tunnel vision is what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
I forget that we're also, this is audio based. Tunnel vision, right? And all it takes is just to be able to look left just a little bit. And that looking left a little bit, the practical sense of that is speaking to a mentor, and a mentor going, hey, do you want to look at it like this? I'll give you one example. This was my personal development mentor. We were very concerned about our Leaving the Nest programming. We were very concerned on making sure that we delivered on the outcomes we said we were going to deliver. The reason why we were very concerned is because we had never done it online. We knew what to do in person. We knew we could have a lot more control. But delivering it online was interesting because of, you know, obviously a pandemic and sheltering in place. So we were very, very concerned with that. So one of the things that happened through through this program was we had a particular person who I mispronounced their name. And I mispronounced their name about three different times. And it wasn't a terrible mispronunciation, but just enough, right? And at the end, we had a postmortem with my development coach, my personal development coach, who happens to be working on this program with me. And they asked, hey, you know, is there, what can we have done? And I had said to them, I said, hey, when you interrupted me in chat, it threw me off. And I was really, really concerned about these outcomes. And it didn't let me focus on it. You were helping me pronounce a student's name, which is great, but I was focused on the outcomes. And so at the time, I had a sort of a disagreement with the approach. It was like, hey, I don't care. I cared more about the outcomes than pronouncing the student's name. The personal development mentor said something really brilliant. They go, saying someone's name correctly and essentially holding space for them, right? Taking a moment to hold space for them will allow your, what you say after you say their name to have more weight and more impact. So I know you're concerned with the outcomes and the delivery of the content, but if you can't get their name right, they're not going to listen anyway. And so that was the piece of information that I needed to go, okay, well, maybe since I do have a trouble enunciating the names of people, I didn't actually think I got that name wrong because it was a very simple name. They're just they say it a different way, right? So that there wasn't that. But now what I've done since then, this is now a few weeks ago, I say, I'm so sorry. I don't want to say your name incorrectly. Would you mind saying your name? Right. And so now that's something I've implemented. Right. I haven't gotten any feedback that goes, hey, thanks for saying my name. Right. But I can feel the impact. Right. Yeah. And so that was something that I was just caught up with. I'm caught up with the performance of my content and making sure that we delivered on the outcomes that I lost sight of people and that I need to connect with someone by just enunciating their name properly. Right. And so that was a mentor who gave me that opportunity. And I wouldn't have never had that without them mentioning something.
Sorry, my dog is drinking water in the background. So if you hear some weird noises, that's
can't hear it that much.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. Well, people mispronounce my name all the time. And there is a weird psychological thing for when someone gets it right, I get more excited than I probably should. Almost because I'm just assuming now people will get it wrong, but it is frustrating because it does sort of, it already in a bizarre way, and I don't know what the psychology is behind it, but I guess like you're saying, it's holding space. It's saying, I'm thinking enough about you as an individual that I'm going to take the time to get your name right. And you don't like, it's just because you're so, like you said, your tunnel vision on the, I want to get my point across and I want to make sure that I get this valuable information to these people, that's just something that just flies out of your mind because it's just not front of mind. It's not your, you know. And it's strange how even little things like that can make such an impact.
And the big thing, right, is if someone said my name wrong, I don't care. I don't care. I just care about the content you're going to give me. But I'm not everyone. Right. And not everyone thinks like me. Right. And so that's where a mentor allowed me the opportunity to be like, okay, well, we know that you don't care, but that doesn't mean other people don't care.
Right.
Right. And so, okay, fair. That's totally, totally fair. And having that opportunity to learn that from a mentor, which seems so minute and so small, but it pays dividends on the long end.
Right. It's like remembering people's names, period. Like when you meet someone, if you see them, you know, 6 months later at a party and you're like, hey, and you can say their name. It's weird how much higher they just hold you in sort of esteem because they're like, I appreciate that you remembered me. It's just, you know, so I hope I'm saying Julian Espinosa, right? Is it right?
Yeah, you're totally fine.
Now that you're saying that, I'm thinking, oh, I think I said Pappy. It's Poppy Digital. Anyway. Great. Well, I appreciate that. And I, yeah, the mentor thing is a big deal. And I know that it's hard, especially for kids, to even know where to ask and what to think about with regards to that. If you have any advice for anyone with regards to finding mentors, what would you offer?
I think the simple answer is most of my mentors have never said, I am your mentor, right? And we've never had a discussion about the mentorship necessarily at a meta level, right? At the level of like, hey, you're my mentor and I'm your mentee, right? I think I've mentioned it in passing with my personal development coach. I may have mentioned it to someone else. Yeah, to my business coach. Give me one second. I'm so sorry. Meetings arriving earlier than intended.
It's all good.
So the practical advice here is that most of your mentors are not going to have the conversation that I am your mentor, okay? It's just gonna be a conversation with someone who you're asking their advice. And then if that's someone that keeps coming back, you keep coming back to them for that information, over time they essentially become a more so official mentor without it happening. So the simple answer is ask people for advice that you respect. That's what you're looking to do. And that's how you start a mentorship, right? Right. It's just asking the opinion of someone else. They don't even need to be older than you, just someone whose opinion you respect on the subject matter you're asking, and just start asking, right? Like, hey, how could I improve my performance on this? Well, you can just start saying people's names right. Okay, that's pretty simple.
Cool. Awesome. Do you have any sort of last minute advice? So the podcast is, like I said, it's change makers, wild warriors, and you're certainly a change maker and I would say a wild warrior with regards to the work that you're doing and the change that you are affecting. And I very much appreciate you being part of this. I know you've got a super busy schedule. Do you have any sort of last words, so to speak, to share with the audience about at anything, actually, whatever.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the biggest, you know, if I was talking to my children, right, and I was giving them, you know, sound practical advice as they are adults, I would just say be intentional and deliberate about everything you do, right? As far as going into the refrigerator, all the way to giving advice to someone, sharing something confidential with a loved one, to your career. Just being intentional and deliberate about what it is. My personal development mentor gave me this token. She said, every time you engage in a conversation with someone, think about how you want to leave that person and what the purpose of that was while you're in it. My argument to her was that's exhausting and that seems difficult to do every single time I do it. After you do it for like 3 to 4 weeks, it just becomes second nature, right? And you quickly realize that you can be very deliberate and very intentional without doing it, without having to be overly deliberate and overly intentional, right? You can do it naturally if you practice it, and it's an art. And if you become deliberate and intentional about the things that you go about with your life and starting with engaging with another human, starting at that, I've seen that provide dividends on the back end from personal relationships, business relationships, and just overall happiness, right? I just feel calmer and happier as a person because I'm more content with how deliberate and intentional I'm being. I think people who have anxiety, I think people who are rushing, you're running away and you're rushing and you have anxiety about something and you're not solving for that, right? So right now, as an example, I'm fasting for 5 days. I'm eating less than 800 calories a day. I even have this little one of these little drink here that I'm drinking. And the idea was I wanted to be very deliberate about my diet, and I wanted to see what kind of addictions I have to sugar. I want to kind of see where my diet was and reset myself. So again, being super deliberate about everything. And the simple answer, because it was funny, my mom and I were talking a few nights ago in the car, and she's like, how do you do all of it? And I'm like, well, I didn't do all of it at once. I worked on one thing, and this week I made less meetings. So to give you an answer, my week isn't not that busy this week because I wanted to focus on my diet and my fast, right? So I have a few things I'm doing this weekend, but I'm holding space to be able to focus on this diet and this fast because I want to see how that affects my life, affects my mood, affects my energy levels, affects everything. Right. My sleep. I wanted to see what this does and how and what kind of benefits this could bring to me. And so the simple answer is this. That's what this week was about. This week was about diet. And that was my focus. That was my theme. Next week, it might be something else, or the month later might be something else. But solving little things at a time, because over time, it compounds and it comes together. So again, high level. Just be intentional next time you have a conversation with someone and think about how you want to leave that person at the end of that conversation.
Right. That's great advice. And it's amazing. Like what you're talking about is so true. It's like focusing in on whatever it is that you're doing and being present in that moment. And so because you establish the baseline, when you get all the distractions out of the way, then you can really focus your attention in on what's happening as a result of this, as opposed to being like, well, it could be this and it could be that and it could be, no, I need to focus in on this and I need to isolate this so that I can use this as my baseline moving forward and I can start adding in these other elements. So yeah, that's fantastic advice. And a big reason why I actually wanted you to be on this podcast, because my deliberate and intentional way of dealing with things is trying to bring people to a larger audience who are doing great work and who have so much wisdom and advice and information to offer and share and have this incredible energy, and you check all the boxes and then some. So I so appreciate you taking your time during your fasting week. And I wish you all well, because I need to do that too, because I'm a horrible sugar junkie and it's so bad. But yeah.
And it's crazy to think about, because I don't eat dessert. I don't really munch on things, but there is natural sugars in our food. Mm-hmm. Right. And just seeing what that is. But yeah, you're absolutely welcome. Thank you for considering me a person who has wisdom. As I've gotten older, I think the gray hair is starting to show, and it's starting to show up and being recognized and holding space for me to share some of my experience. I appreciate it, and I'm honored to be considered in that category. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Julian Espinoza, Poppy Digital, Startup Kids, Leaving the Nest. I'll be sure to include all the links. Leaving the Nest. I love that. I have a bird feeder, by the way, right with my field of vision. So it's just, I keep seeing little things. Anyway, but I will make sure that I include links for everybody so that they can visit all of your stuff and find you and seek you out and hopefully find some schools that you can do some work with as well. And maybe
that'd
some
great
marketing clients.
That would be great.
Good luck with the cat. Good luck with the rest of your week. And I will let you know how when this is up and ready to view.
All right. Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Take care. Bye-bye. Thanks so much for tuning in and joining us today for another episode of Nature Knows. If you want to keep up with what Julian Espinoza is doing, you can check out his websites at Poppy Digital, which is PAPIDIGITAL.com, Leaving the Nest, which is leavingthenest1word.co, and Startup Kids, which is start-up-kids.org. To get the latest Nature Knows podcast, hit the subscribe button or go to lateshiftmedia.com and sign up to receive our newsletter. It's lateshiftmedia.com. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we hope to see you next time at Nature Knows, Conversations with Wild Warriors and Changemakers. I'm your host, Jen Vitanzo. Have a great day and keep on changing the world.